Well, I brought a picture. I was going to have a PowerPoint, or I was thinking of having a PowerPoint presentation, but I brought a picture that actually came from my refrigerator, and it is a really silly picture, actually. If you want to see it later, you certainly can. But it's of my son. He's upside down, and there's a goat that's nuzzling his nose with its nose. Now, I got a couple reactions there. I mean, if I put it probably on PowerPoint, you would think that's funny. It's got to be, right? And that's a natural reaction. I mean, I wasn't young, and somebody taught me that if a boy is hung upside down by his feet at a goat farm, and a goat comes up and nuzzles its nose with its nose, that is absolutely funny. You just know that that's funny. Now, I think it's definitely funny, especially because my son was the one being held upside down, and the goat was nuzzling literally its nose with its nose. And so we laughed and had a bit of a moment at that time. But we have natural reactions to things like that. We have them all the time. I mean, shows like Funniest Home Videos obviously make money and get, great viewers to watch their show because of that. I mean, when people do peculiar things, things that are out of the ordinary, it makes us react in a certain way. This is true in many ways. If you saw a picture of an accident, obviously you would not laugh at something like that. You weren't taught when you were younger. You don't laugh at something, that appears to be tragic. You have a different reaction for that. Well, what's your reaction when you see something that's actually very grand, very magnificent? I would suppose that some of you in this audience have actually been to national parks in the United States. I've been to a lot of them. I've been very thankful to actually have been traveling around, or did when I was younger. I've got a lot more gray hairs on my head now, but was able to travel a lot of the continental United States and see a lot of the national parks and see very grand things. What was your reaction if you did go to, say, Glacier National Park? If you didn't go there, maybe some of you Yellowstone. If you ask Ray and Jennifer, they will tell you everything you need to know about Yosemite National Park, because they practically lived in the park. And ask their son Michael. His stories as a boy are actually pretty funny. And I assure you, they really are funny. But when you see these things for the first time, there's a natural reaction that occurs. I'll tell you that something that really helped me actually in thinking of God himself was actually considering my own reactions at some of these places. I mean, if you're standing there literally on a precipice and you look out and you see Half Dome, or El Capitan, if you're at Glacier National Park and you see some gigantic mountain and at the base of it this huge, beautiful, pristine lake, and from that lake flows off into a waterfall you've just never seen before, or really even if you conceived of it, and we are imaginative people, even if you had imagined it, to see it really is something. Did you say, wow? Did you say, cool? Did you say, neat? We might have had different reactions, but I'll tell you, my reaction was a little different. And my reaction was this. Silence. I didn't say a word. I literally looked out in some of these places, I just really couldn't believe it. It was truly remarkable, and to try and describe it in the moment, it's even silly to say, would have not done it justice. And it's because of that, actually, that made me start to think about the moments in my life that really produce these awe-inspiring, not just sentiments, but reactions. I mean, the purest of all, ultimately, and I think Scripture actually backs this up, the purest of all produces silence. If you really try and describe it, you'll fall utterly short. Now, there's something that's really neat, actually, in Scripture. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul tells us of a story of a man. And you later learn, actually, just a few verses after he describes this story of the man, that it's actually him. It's in the context of boasting, but he says of this man, I know of a man. And keep in mind, Paul is the one guy, if anybody could boast, it would be this guy. If anybody in Scripture really could boast of some things, And he actually does write in some other epistles that he went through certain trials. Just unbelievable things, being shipwrecked, being beaten, whipped. If there's anybody that could say some things about their Christianity and the things that they've been through that could boast, it would be this guy. And he says, I know of a man. He says he was caught up 14 years ago into the third heaven. Now, according to Scripture, there were three heavens. The first is what? You all know your Bible stories. The first was the atmosphere. When you're talking about the three heavens in Scripture, primary heaven number one, or the first heaven, right, was the atmosphere. That's the biosphere. That's the stratosphere. That is the clouds. That it's, you know, what we exist in. Okay, above that is the second heaven. The second heaven are the stellaries. They are the stars and the galaxies and the things that are up above. That's the second heaven. But the third heaven, what's that? That's the heavenly realm. That's the spiritual realm. That is the realm literally where God exists, where his home in some form or manner is. That's the third heaven. And this guy says, I was caught up into the third heaven. And he says, I saw things and I heard things inexpressible. And what does that really mean? Well, similarly, but so much more grand, to the point at which we're, you know, I'm on a precipice appreciating Grand Canyon, and I can't speak. There's no reason for me to do so because those words would not describe what I'm seeing very well. He says, it's far, far more than that, in fact. Inexpressible. Literally, the term here is, it means that there's no human language that could communicate or could articulate what he saw and what he heard. It's not that he didn't have any adjectives, you know, that he ran out of similes and metaphors in that moment. He literally says they're inexpressible. They communicated in ways I can't describe to you. You know, the things that existed in this realm, in this third heaven, they are not described well in human terms and are impossible to describe in those terms. And that's the third heaven. Now, if that doesn't give you hope to really want to see something and really be in awe of something, you know, then goodness, I don't know what will. I've really got to see this third heaven. I really do. And it's only by the grace and mercy of God. But I really want to see it. I mean, I'll just tell you, I really want to see what Paul saw. I really do. I mean, I don't want people to try and hinder me from that because clearly this was something spectacular. And I really loved Yosemite National Park and Grand Canyon and all of these amazing places that I've thankfully had the privilege to go to. But if people can describe in magazines and books and things the places that I've been to, but Paul, who actually articulated really, really well certain scenarios and situations, if he says literally it's inexpressible, I'm going to take his word for it and say I've got to see it. I need to go there. I want to be a part of that. Well, consider that. Consider that and then turn over in your Bibles to Psalm chapter 46. We've turned this passage, Psalm chapter 46 and verse 10. We posterized it, if you will. It says this. Now, this is my New American Standard version, and it says, cease striving and know that I am God. Now, what's the portion that maybe you're more familiar with? Be still and know that I am God. Literally, the writer there in the Psalms, in that context, he's talking more about warfare. It's finding peace, knowing that God is who he is, and he is the refuge of his people. But even within that context, you got to consider this, folks. If you think about God, who created the things that we've been able to see and can witness, and literally they produce silence because they're so awe-inspiring and really, really remarkable. And these words are all silly to me, even as I speak them. If a God can create that, you know, what kind of awe should it really produce in us to literally be in his presence? I want you to think about that. I mean, what kind of awe should we have when considering that we're in his presence? And literally, we're in his presence all the time. I mean, we are his temple. And there's lots of ways and areas and, you know, I guess tangents we could go off concerning that. But when this writer says, be still, literally he's just saying, just stop. Be silent. Do nothing for a moment. And consider God and who he is. I mean, just for a second, just stop. We're so busy, you know. I mean, I got to go to work tomorrow. I'm already stressing about it, you know. Maybe even more than this lesson. You know, every weekend you get texts and I'm thinking, oh man, I got to worry about Monday. You know, I really just want to enjoy the weekend. But just for a moment, you know, of course, this context is talking about more grander themes. But I mean, just for a second, stop. Don't do anything. Be silent and know who God is. Okay, I want you to just think about those things. If you don't know who God is, you truly don't know, you know, those awe-inspiring, just not just sentiments, but you've never really known, you know, what he can do for you and what he can do in your life. But I wanted to just consider a few things with you for this evening. Know God, be silent knowing God. Okay, if you don't know God, then we'd love to help you to know him. And if we can do so this evening in helping you to know him, then please come forward as we stand and sing the song of invitation.